The following is a segment from Real Estate Today, the radio partner of HouseLogic.com.
Welcome back to Real Estate Today. I'm Gil Gross. And every week on the show, we check in with people at HouseLogic.com. HouseLogic is that website brought to you by the NAR that just features everything you need to increase, protect, and maintain the value of your home. And in doing so, we always check in with HouseLogic's Pamela Gertz-Kabati. Good to have you back. How are you?
I'm just wonderful today, Gil. How are you?
I am fine. April 22nd is Earth Day. I know HouseLogic has a lot of content around sustainability, so I don't know. What do you have about that this week?
Well, yes, we do. Even though Earth Day is only one official day, of course, there's a lot of interest among folks these days in sustainable practices and living sustainably in their homes. And, of course, those practices can really help you save money, as well as make us better stewards of our community. And, of course, a vibrant community is a wonderful way to improve home values, right, and keep your home values stable when you're engaged in your community.
Yep. So what can people do here?
Well, one idea is to start or join a barter co-op. Basically, it's a system of trading goods and services with your neighbors instead of buying them. People might already trade services informally with their neighbors. I know, you know, my husband, our neighbor has a lot of tools, and so he'll borrow his tools sometimes, and so my husband will mow his lawn. It works out really well. So, but a barter co-op allows folks to exchange with multiple people and access a wide range of local services and goods and also help their neighbors. So, for instance, you might have someone clean your basement and trim your bushes, and then you contribute to the co-op as a whole by raking, you know, a third person's leaves, by raking someone else's leaves. In really organized programs, you're going to put your hours into a pool and get hours back, so you need some kind of a tracking system to do this in a major way. A small group of you and your neighbors can probably get by with a spreadsheet or, you know, your coordinator's computer, on someone's computer, with email messages just sent to members about their balances. Or you might want to look into a free database system that you could use to sort of, you know, keep track of everyone's hours. But we've got a lot more on this at HouseLogic.com. If you just search bartering, really explains how to set up these programs and how to find some that are already set up through national networks.
All right, interesting idea. What else can you do to conserve resources and especially money?
Well, Gil, let me ask you. You sound like a handy guy. Do you have a set of tools?
Yes, actually, I've got one of those barter things you were just talking about with my neighbor. He borrows my tools, and in exchange for that, I yell at him to give me back my tools.
How's that working for you?
Not that well, actually.
So if you have tools, then, especially if you're yelling at your neighbor to give it back to you, you know how expensive they are, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I know how expensive they are because my husband goes out and buys expensive tools that, you know, he uses once, twice a year, and then they kind of sit there. So wouldn't it be nice to borrow rather than buy that table saw, maybe, that you're only going to use twice a year?
That would be very handy. Of course, I wouldn't have anything to show Tim Allen should he ever drop by, which he never does. But, you know, on the other hand, yes, that absolutely would be handy. And a lot of people are doing it themselves when they come to home projects these days. So a lot of people are getting tools that, you're right, they don't use all that often.
Right, absolutely. So like we were talking about the bartering co-ops before, there are shared tool co-ops, and actually there are things called tool libraries. And the benefits of those aren't just economic. By sharing tools, you're being good to the environment because fewer tools need to be manufactured, which means less waste down the road and eventually a smaller carbon footprint. And it's also a great way to build community, get to know your neighbors.
All right. Now, I'm a little confused, which is standard for me, Pamela, as you know, but what's the difference between a tool co-op and a tool library?
There is a difference, in fact. Thank you for asking that. And the difference is in scale and in purpose. A tool library is going to be bigger and a much bigger organizational undertaking than a neighborhood tool sharing program or co-op. For example, in Berkeley, California, there's a tool library associated with the public library, and residents can borrow any tool they need for personal use. There's another tool library in Atlanta, and that one, though, only lends tools for use in community service projects. They're set up differently.
All right. Well, this is actually a really good idea because, you point out, tools are expensive, and generally we're not using them all the time, so this is pretty good. What do you need to start one of these things?
Well, on a small scale, you could just get together with your neighbors, develop a list of tools that, you know, you all have, everybody tell everybody what they have, and that you're willing to loan. You may have some that you don't want to loan. And then, you know, swap contact information with them. Pretty simple. To start a library, you could ask neighbors for tool donations and maybe purchase some new tools with some membership dues, maybe have some membership dues to the library, and then you would need a place to store all those tools safely as well. So, but if you search tool co-op at HouseLogic, you can read about what you should consider in starting one, and including any rules you might want to put in place.
All right. Pamela Gertz-Cabati, as always, I thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Gil.
You've been listening to a segment from Real Estate Today, the radio partner of HouseLogic.com.